Doing well. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Just open up our service tonight. Let's all turn all of our attention on the Lord as we get ready. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All right. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request this evening? All right, great. Praise the Lord. Oh, I see Miss Julie. I'm sorry. Absolutely. We most definitely will. Most definitely will. Anyone up on the roster?
Remember Brother Keith Hembry's cousin, Wendy. We went back to pray with her several weeks ago, a couple of months ago, I guess, yes. After Christmas. They've gathered all the family into their home tonight. She's okay, very, very low. So remember that whole family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. You know, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name, dear Lord, for your many blessings, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, as we open up our service tonight, Lord, may we just turn all our attention on you, dear Lord. May we just be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship you, to praise you, and ready to receive your word. Lord, let your Holy Ghost have a free ring amongst each and every one of us. And dear Lord, as we come to you about the prayer request, Lord, you hear those spoken that are still fighting COVID. Lord, those that have lost a loved one, dear Lord, those that are in a situation, dear Lord, that only you can touch. Dear Lord, we're releasing each and every prayer request to you. Lord, we ask you to protect, to mend, dear Lord, just to gather, Lord, strengthen families, dear Lord, bring them back together. And dear Lord, for those in the nursing homes and assisted living, dear Lord, we ask for you to touch each and every one. Lord, we ask you to be with those at work there, dear Lord, just to strengthen them. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for this night. We ask you to be with the children's ministry downstairs and with the teens out in the other building, dear Lord. But we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's open up with just applause for the Lord. Just give the Lord a hand. Just praise his holy name. Well, one that y'all probably could call that we're going to do tonight, and I just feel led to do it. We're going to do Redeemed. I didn't get a chance to tell Miss Penny. Redeemed. Sweet as a song. Sweet is a song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by the love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. I have been redeemed. Oh, I've redeemed.
my love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You might be seated if you can. Turn around and give somebody a wave. Or if you're sitting by somebody, give them. Just let them know how much Jesus loves them and how we're so glad to have y'all here with us tonight. Those of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villarica. If you have a prayer request, as we say each and every week, but it's the truth. If you have a prayer request, just put it in the comments section. If you have a praise report, just let us know. We'd love to hear all the what God is doing in each and every one of our lives. But we'll pray with you and we'll worship and praise God with you too at the same time. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering and then call on some special singers. Don't forget, March 20th, that Sunday night, mark your calendar if you hadn't already. Invite somebody, come. We're going to have the multi-church service that night. It's getting closer to us. It's hard to believe how fast this year is going already. But it'll be March 20th, Sunday evening service. We'd love to have you and invite someone. Praise the Lord. Any other announcements? I don't have anything else. Brother Jim, if you would ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen.
If your mind is filled
Jesus, if you have a need today. as soon as I start saying something, he's going to start the music. So
that's true.
That's the way it goes. But anyway, it's good to be in God's house. Amen. To say, just before the song started, Brother Jim mentioned in his prayer request and everything about the assisted living in the nursing homes. I was over there yesterday, and I'll tell you, quite a few new people in there, and it's so heartbreaking to see these people, to sit there and listen to some of the stories they tell me about when I'm finished performed for them. It just tears me up to see that they sit there and just wait for someone to is to give them a little attention. Someone to recognize that they're still alive. That's a shame. So please remember them. Keep them in your prayers, all right? Because it's so hard to see these people go through this. All right? Thank you. Was grace that taught me.
Yes, sir.
I want to take about a second with this. I was telling you a little bit while ago about my experience yesterday, and Sister Tabitha did this song. When I'm at the assisted living, a lot of times I'll ask the folks sitting there to join in and help sing or whatever. Yesterday, I had two ladies, and each one did it by themselves. And but one lady in particular, I don't know how she was. She was up in age. And she asked me, or she didn't even ask me. I had just happened to have my iPad. The next song that popped up was Amazing Grace. And this lady just started singing. Beautiful job. Beautiful job. Sung through the whole thing. And then when she got to the end, I helped them and led them through, you know, course that we do at the end, you know, praise God. And here's what touched me so much. This goes to show you how God can do things and work things. When I got finished, I went over to speak to her. All right, she has a church background. She sung in a choir. She used to play a piano. But you know, when I started talking to her, she couldn't hardly talk. Didn't have the breath to talk, but sung that song like it was nothing. That's God working. Now, you tell me something like that can't touch you. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't feel like going over there. But when I get there, it's a lifting I've never have. I never have during a week. But this particular incident, it just, and everyone sitting there just, I mean, felt the movement throughout the whole crowd of God. But that shows you, God still works on each and every one. Each and every one. Just like the brother back there said with his mother. It doesn't matter if you're singing in tune, out of tune. It don't matter. But this lady yesterday just tore us apart. But you know, it's a blessing to just, I just wanted to share that with you. Because it's a blessing to see God still at that age.
Sure.
Giving them the strength. But God bless her. I went over and she asked me, she was sitting there and she asked me, she said, can you help me get up? And she couldn't stand up without somebody helping her. But sit there and sing without missing a note. It's amazing. Praise God.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, certainly that song is anointed. It is anointed. I believe those words just came straight from heaven, and it has helped so many. It's a universal song. Just when you play it, just the melody alone speaks to your heart. And it is soothing, it's calming, it's reassuring, and it's also promising about the amazing grace of God. And those two words, amazing grace, that pretty much sums up what our vocabulary won't allow us to say. Who can adequately describe grace? You know, it's been often called unmerited favor. Well, yeah, that, but it just doesn't seem to do it justice. Because grace is something that in spite of our iniquities, in spite of our sinful nature, God loves us anyway. And he'll save us and fill us with his Spirit. And that in itself is amazing. And quite amazing that the song was sung tonight and was talked about, because this afternoon, Mother didn't do very good eating her lunch. She did good for breakfast, but she was just kind of laying there, and I tried to kind of rouse her up and talk to her and joke to her, and wasn't getting any response much at all. So I had my phone there, so I opened my phone and put it on one of the songs, well, actually two different artists singing Amazing Grace. The first one I did, I don't know if y'all have ever seen the Celtic women singing Amazing Grace, and I put that there. And about the second verse, yeah, still no response, but I was feeling good. I mean, it was blessing me. And then just out of the blue, a little smile just came on Mother's face. Never opened her eyes, but just a little old smile, and I knew then that she was getting it. She was hearing those wonderful words of amazing grace, and that is an anointed song. Amen. Well, we got any blessed people here tonight? Amen. Aren't we blessed? Glory to God. I just, before I get into the message tonight, and I know we have some people that that view the live stream, and we already consider you family out there, whoever you are. We've had a chance to talk with some of you, to meet with someone of you, but I never know who may be tuning in. But I want to take this opportunity, if I can. If you're out there somewhere and you're not right with God, can I urge you to please, whatever you do, get right with God. Not down the road, but now. I believe that it's that urgent. I really do. Bible readers know and feel there's discernment in the air to let us know, and we've been told, we've been reading the Word of God, and God's promising that he is coming back. And I'm not saying that he's coming back in the midst of all of this, but I'm saying I want to be ready, and I want to make sure that I'm ready. If, in fact, you've grown cold, in fact, that you're born again, and you just let other things slip into your life, and you're not as committed and dedicated as you once was, can I urge you as a pastor? You don't have to come to this church. Get in a church somewhere, a Bible-believing church, one that preaches salvation through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Get your soul right. Get your family right. Get your loved ones right. Because I believe that prayer is the greatest weapon that we have to combat the evil that's in this world today. A lot of people are trying, where can I send my money? What can I do this and what can I do that? And all of that is wonderful, and all of it is fantastic, and all of it is encouraged. But if the church, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, amen, and heal their land. That is still true. It was true then, and it's still true today. So I constantly urge you, amen, to get in touch with the Lord. And if you're born again and filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you already know to be praying. So if we pray one for another, and if we pray for our nation, if we pray for our world, I believe God will intercede. Amen. Has nothing to do with my message tonight, but it's a good message anyway. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Mark in the 14th chapter, verse number 36. The writing of the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 14 and verse number 36. Yes. His first name. Glenn, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your touch right now. We need a miracle, Lord, in Brother Glenn's life. Father, I pray that you would honor the faith, God, of his family right now. Lord, I pray that you would reach out, touch his body. God, I know, Lord, that you can breathe breath back into him. Lord, I pray, God, that you would strengthen him, anoint him, touch him. God, bless those caretakers that are there with him, God. Give them the wherewithal, God, to help him right now. God, and by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, God, we declare it to be done. Lord, touch him and strengthen him, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Prayer is so vital. Amen. And I'm so glad that we didn't have to be put on hold. Amen. We got a direct line to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Well, if you believe God touched Glenn, give the Lord a hand clap for praise tonight. I believe, amen, that what we prayed for, God will answer. In the book of St. Mark, chapter 14, verse number 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, or not what I will, rather, but what thou wilt. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, again, as we come, Lord, to thank you and to love you and to praise you, God, and to exalt your holy name. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together tonight. Thank you for those who are here. And Father, I pray, God, that we will hear from heaven. I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, God, to lead us and guide us and direct us in the path that you would have us to go. Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God is nothing more than a vessel. God, just speak the word to us tonight. Lord, and we give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That just seems to have a melody. Often thought about that. It's only mentioned a few times in the Word. Father is mentioned a lot of times in the Word. Here we have Mark's account of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just to kind of lay a little groundwork, this was prior to Jesus' apprehension and his cruelty and his crucifixion. And he was praying not the spirit under subjection, but he was praying the flesh under subjection. I'm not sure if any of us have had to do that. I know I have on a number of occasions. Because sometimes my flesh is not as ready to be obedient unto the Lord as my spirit is. What is it? The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh indeed is weak. So many times I've had to pray my flesh under subjection. Lord, again, we say it often and we can't say it enough. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I was talking to someone and they said, you know what? We say that a lot, but that's very, really hard to do. And it is hard to do because we're so used to praying our will be done. We're encouraged if we have a problem, if we have a trouble, if we have a sickness or affliction to bring it to the Lord. And I believe that the Lord will hear and answer prayers. And we come to him and we come to him with faith, believing that all things are possible. And Jesus just said that as he opened his prayer to the Father. But so many times we forget that we are praying for the will of the Father and never let that supersede or override our prayer, amen, for ourselves rather. That is always let the Lord have his will and his way in our life. So let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's go into what Jesus is doing. And this is not the only words that he said in his prayer. And we don't know exactly everything that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. I remember that when we used to pray the New Year in, and I was just a young boy, and I was trying to pray. You know, back then, my granddaddy, he would start the service about, I don't know, about an hour for the end of the year, and then he'd take about the last 30 minutes, and we was going to pray the New Year in, and I prayed everything I knew in about 2 minutes. And then I started repeating myself, praying it over and over and over again, and, you know, later on in years, I found out, you know, it's not the quantity of the prayer, but it is certainly the quality of the prayer. And how many knows and realizes that even if we don't even know what to say, the Spirit that is within us can make intercession and talk to the Lord. Amen. Have you ever done that? Just let you know, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what to say. I just want the Spirit that is within me to communicate with you. And in fact, that it does. And that's when you forget about who's around you. You forget about what you're saying. You forget about anything. It's just you and the Lord having a wonderful conversation and just praying and exalting Him. And I found out that if I can't think anything to pray for, I just glorify Him. Amen. And what it'd be good just to have a whole prayer of doing nothing but praising Him. But the Bible doesn't record exactly all the words that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I would imagine most of those prayers was for His flesh. We sometimes forget that the Spirit of God was robed in flesh, and that flesh was not unlike the flesh that you and I have to battle on a daily basis now. I'm sure that he grew very weary and very tired. I mean, we do pray in 30, 45 minutes or an hour or whatever, and he's praying all night. And the Bible said, until his sweat or his perspiration became as great drops of blood, praying in agony, praying in sincerity, and praying earnestly for God. And finally, he says that, no, you know, I know you can take away this cup, and I know that all things are possible, but Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And I thought about that. Now, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he didn't say Abba, Father. He said, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, which denotes a personal relationship with the Lord. How many is thankful for that privilege? Amen. We don't have to go through the priest. Amen. To know the Father. We don't have to go through the pastor to know and to have a relationship with the Lord. Amen. We're invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. Again, that amazing grace. And we can have that opportunity to have that wonderful, intimate relationship with the Lord and the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. The Savior of our soul, the one who bled and died on the cross of Calvary. That is an awful privilege, an awful, wonderful privilege, and a great, great honor to be able to come unto the Lord. So, but then he said, just say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And other times he would direct them to say, Father this and Father that, denoting that intimacy or that wonderful relationship that he had with his Father. Now, a father-son relationship is something really, really wonderful. And unfortunately, in this world, we know sometimes that is not the case. It's so sad that a father and son do not have a close relationship. And most fathers and sons do, and as well as daughters and fathers, and the parent relationship is wonderful. But let's be honest, there's cases where that's not the case. There are cases where fathers and sons have not spoken in years. There's some cases where they just despise one another. But yet, that son says, that's still my father, or that's my dad. But he doesn't say, Abba, Father. There's a very big difference in saying Abba, Father. For years we've been taught, and many scholars have alluded to the fact that when we say Abba, Father, that denotes even more intimate, more personal, more wonderful relationship, one that's just almost unable to even separate, that's such a closeness. And I agree with all of that, but in studying, there's another point to it, and there's another part of that definition of Abba Father that I think we would do well to incorporate that into our prayers as well. There was a young Jewish boy, and the writer said that he was at a Tel Aviv airport, and he was listening to a father and son, a very small Jewish boy, and the father was speaking English, and he was teaching his son, which was Jewish, to speak English. And he said, the writer said that they were both speaking very good English. And he was instructing the boy to do something. And then he spoke up and he said, "Now, when you refer to me, you can call me Father. But when I ask you to do something, you call me Abba." And it intrigued the writer, and he began to do research on it. And as he found out that he was doing research on it, in the Arabic language, the word Abba, it doesn't only mean a close relationship, but it means "I will obey." And when I heard that, I said, man, that goes back to what Jesus was praying. That's the reason he called him Abba in the garden. Because Father, when he was praying while he was still on the earth and while he was still healing and anointing and all that wonderful intimate relationship, but there come a time when that intimate relationship meant that he must obey the Father. Now, I often said and said it until the day that my dad went home, and even when I got grown and married, I said, "I love my daddy, and I will assure you today, if he told me to get over there in the corner and sit down, I would do it. Not because I'm afraid of him, because I respect him, and I love him." And that's the type of father-son relationship that I had with my daddy. He was just a wonderful man, and I'm so honored and privileged to be able to call him Father. But, you know, there would be times in my life, if I think about it, there was times I needed to call him Abba, Father. Because I needed to obey him. It's when I was under his roof and I was still his responsibility. When I would do things, you know, I needed to say, you know what, I will do it. Didn't always want to do it. And even Jesus said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But very quickly he followed it up and said, "Nevertheless, but not my will, but thine be done." Abba, Father. Again, Father, I will obey. In Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, we find it again. Paul's writing here to the church at Galatia, and he says in verse number 6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And when we realize that Abba before that means that we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Not only are we be intimate, not only are we have that close and personal and wonderful relationship, but we should have that ability to obey him. Because how many knows God knows best what's in our life? We're always asking God to make a way, and we got to understand that he is the way. And when his Spirit leads us, then we need to understand that we need to follow him without question. And I've got to say, oh me, as well as amen. Because that hasn't always been the case in my life. There's been many, many times when I did question God because it didn't make sense to me what he was trying to lead me in or take me to some direction that I had no earthly idea what was going on. And I was a little very hesitant. And I said, "Lord, you know what? I don't think I can do that, or I don't think I can go there. I don't think I can say that. But I'm trying to learn to say, Abba, Father, Lord. I want to love you, and I want you to love me, but I want to obey you." Because when a son obeys a father, that is the greatest respect and greatest showing of love that he can possibly do. Now, it's one thing to say, "I love Daddy." You mind? That's not hard to say. I love Daddy. But if we love Daddy, then we have a close and personal relationship, and we respect him, and we do the things that he asks us to do in a father-son relationship. Can we transpose that into our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father? Because many, many times, we're not going to understand where he's leading us. We're not going to understand what he's doing in our life. We don't understand sometimes when we pray a prayer and it doesn't happen immediately like we think that it ought to. Sometimes we asking for the Lord to make a way, and we're already telling him how to make a way, when to make a way, and what kind of way we want him to make, when we ought to say, "Abba, Father, whatever way that you make, I'm putting my faith and trust in you, and I will obey. I will obey. I'll be that son that you want me to be. Father, whatever it is, if it doesn't make sense in my life, don't let me question you. Just let me simply have faith and trust in you and the ability to say, Lord, whatever your will is in my life, that's what I want to do." And Paul said, because you are sons or daughters. When we're born again, how many knows there's a spiritual transformation in our life? And it doesn't happen any other way. You don't get born again by signing some card and putting it in the offering plate. It just doesn't work that way. You become born again with a born again experience. Amen. A confession of your sins, an invitation for Jesus Christ to send his spirit into your body and into your heart and into your soul to be submissive and obedient and have that wonderful loving relationship, but also be led by the Spirit of God. That's the type of relationship that God wants with us because we are called sons. And God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wonderful thing, too, as we go to the book of Romans. And this may tie it together as well as anything, because I'm not that little Jewish boy, and I was not born in Israel, and I have not Jewish ancestry. But I'm born again and rooted and grafted in. Amen. There's been a blood transfusion in my life, glory to God, that made me a spiritual person, amen, of the house and lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to come in as an adopted son. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, for as many as are filled are as many as are led by the Spirit of God, because you cannot, I wrote that note there, you cannot be led unless you're filled. There's no way. Amen. We're seeing gas prices and all. And my daddy would have a fit right now because Penny and I are both, we're not filling up. We're just putting a little bit in. Daddy would have a fit. He said, son, you're nearly out of gas. I said, daddy, now I'm half full. He said, no, you're not. You're half empty. That he lived by. Every time that he would get in the truck or car with me, he'd always look over. We got plenty of gas, hadn't we? Son, I said, yes, sir. Got a half tank. He said, you better pull over and get some gas. But he was raised in a generation where there wasn't a gas station on every corner like there is now. And he always lived by this fact that if in the middle of the night, if you had to get up and go to the doctor, you better have plenty of gas. I don't know if your dad was like that or not, but he always wanted to be prepared and have plenty of gas. So, said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or in your case, ladies, you are the children of God. What an honor, what a privilege, amen, what a blessing it is that his amazing grace is wonderful, but we'll have that relationship, amen, with the Father to know that we are in the body of Christ. We are in his family. Are you glad to be a part of the family of the Lord? Amen. I see Susan sitting over here. She's about to have a birthday. What, tomorrow? And I still remember, I'm not going to tell your age, sweetie, but I still remember that when she was born, or I think I remember Dad and him talking about it, because we had one of the greatest, most horrific ice storms to ever hit this part of the country, and that was in March, right around, and I think Aunt Dorothy had to go. You were born on that snowy or rainy or icy day, and it anyway. But I'm thinking about your birthday, and I won't tell them what year it was, but you're still 39 in my eyes, so. But her sister, Judy was, she was my cousin. She was my sweetie. I thought she was the prettiest girl I'd ever seen in my life. And she would take care of me because she was like in the sixth grade when I started to school. And I remember before Susan was born, I went with them somewhere. They were going to some meeting or something. And I was going with them, and they stopped at a restaurant to eat. And we were sitting there, and I remember, how the waitress comes out, and she took their orders, and she took Judy's order, and she said, now, what would your son like? And it blew my mind. I'm sitting there, and I'm probably not even school age, and I remember, and they laughed about it and kidded me a lot, and I looked around, and I said, I don't belong to this family. And I'm years later, I'm thinking that waitress said, well, what are you doing here with them? She didn't say that, but she was, she was as confused as I was when she asked me, what does your son want? And I,
I wanted a hamburger, but I'm not their son. I don't belong to that family. I didn't know how to explain to them that I was their nephew, this tagging along. But, you know, it's something to belong. Amen. I'm glad that if somebody asks me, I can proudly tell them, I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born again. His Spirit dwells within me, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Not because of anything that I've done, but everything that He has done on the cross of Calvary. I am blessed and honored to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Sons and daughters of the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Many knows that we've been set free. Amen. Not only is Amazing Grace a wonderful song, but that song, He Set Me Free. Amen. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt. Amen. But the Lord has set me free. And it said, again to fear. No, we're not bondage or in the spirit of bondage to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. Amen. The spirit of adoption. Glory to God. How precious that is. You know what that tells me? Jesus didn't have to love me, but He did. He didn't have to choose me, but He did. Amen. I was not born in Israel. I was not a lineage of the house of David. But He opened the doors to the Gentile nation, of which I am. But I've been spiritually reborn. Glory to God. And now I can proudly say that I'm a part of the body of Christ. Amen. So thankful to know that. Amen. And know that this is not my final destination. How many is happy to know that? That we got a better place to go to. A wonderful, glorious place to go to. And that we can cry, Abba, Father. Father, that relationship is wonderful. But as long as I'm in this body of flesh, I want to remember to say, Abba, Father, I will obey. Whatever your desire is in my life, I want to be obedient. Amen. So there's basically two key issues we think about when we think about as we call Him Abba Father. First is the intimacy. Thank God for the intimacy. Amen. That's nothing sexual about that. That just means there's a closeness, a kindred spirit. You see it. How many's ever been on the vacation with somebody and you're a total stranger and you just kind of hook up and you have that kindred spirit and come to find out they're a born-again Christian, you know, and you begin to talk about that. There's just something about it that you can't hide. We didn't want to hide it anyway, but there's something, amen. It may be the glow. It may just be that persona that you're giving off, but some, you know, you got the Holy Ghost. You can't hide it. Amen. It's going to come out somewhere, everywhere you are because of the kindness, because of the change in our behavior, and because that we've been born again, amen, with that spirit of adoption. The second part of that is obedience. Let us not forget the obedience. Again, if we liken it to a personal relationship with our parents, we can love them all we want to when we're growing up, but one of the greatest things that you can do for them is obey them as their son or their daughter when you're under their household and all. Because that, to me, is probably as important as looking up and say, Daddy, I love you. But Daddy, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, you know. And that's what we need to pray. Father, Abba, Father, whatever your will is, help me to accept it. Not my will, but thine be done. And in Jesus Christ, our example, shouldn't we try to live, you know, we wear the what would Jesus do or whatever, you know, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If He set forth that example, amen, we need to follow that example as well. Amen. God bless you. We love you so very much. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. We desire your prayers. Keep Mom in your prayers. I appreciate all the thoughts, the phone calls, the prayers, and everything that's already going up. And we appreciate that so very much. I do want to share one thing with you. We've been announcing the multi-church service that we're having. And not only is it a time of fellowship for the other churches, but it is for another worthy cause. And this is for lack of a better word, the battered and abused women in Carroll County. There is an association that helps house them, and it's funded by different missions, different churches and all. But that's where some of the brothers were thinking about having this, and I think it's a worthy cause. So the money will not be going to the churches. It will be going to the Carroll County office or the Carroll County Association. I'm not sure exactly what they call it. I'll try to get the name for you. But that's where the money will be going in for the proceeds. And we're already talking about maybe something else. And something I would like us to look at is one of the things that Keith was so involved with, and Ashley and some of the friends of them, too. How many's ever heard of the Blake House? And the Blake House is not just a place that sells furniture and used things, but they also have a place that young men can come in when they're on addiction or are addicted to certain things, and they can help them out. So that would be good, something that we can think about. There's just a lot of things that we can do as a church, amen? So many things that we can reach out and help folks with. If you would stand tonight, giving you an opportunity, if you need prayer, please come forward. You know, the God I serve heals on Wednesday nights just as much as he does on Sunday. Amen? He's just as real. So if you have a need tonight, a prayer request, if you want to bring it before the church and come to the altar tonight, we'll pray with you and pray for you.
Just keep you safe, man. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we anoint this prayer, God, as a reminder, Lord, that you're always with us. Father, we pray for this couple, God, as they go, Lord, to enjoy this time of way. God, I pray for their safety. I pray for their keeping, Lord, that you'll be with them. Just let your guardian angels and help well the God. God, help them to have a good time and enjoy that time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Let it be done. God is certainly able. Thank you. us out tonight. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise God. Amen. Amen. See, devil, God's greater than anything you come against us. Thank you for sharing that.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. Powerful, powerful message. I love the Lord's words just brought forth. And love each and every one of you. Glad we're able to gather together. You watching online, again, we love y'all. When as we get ready to part, let's just keep each and every situation in prayer. Those have been lifted up tonight. Those on the flash text and in the prayer box. And also those situations that we know deep in our heart. But we know an almighty God. Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask for your strength and guidance and protection to be upon each and every one of us, dear Lord. Keep us safe, dear Lord. But most of all, Lord, may we be that vessel, dear Lord, that we would just let your light shine through, dear Lord, that you will use us. But most of all, dear Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Don't forget Sunday school.
Good God.